content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Money.com and also Kiplinger.com. From Money.com, 6 tips to help you save for emergencies. Imagine this scenario. You bite down on a popcorn kernel and break a molar in half. Ouch. Next stop, the dentist to have the tooth pulled, a root canal performed, post-inserted, temporary tooth made and put in, and crown added to replace the original tooth. Total bill minus the cost of dental insurance premiums, the deductible and inflation, $2,500. Without dental insurance, probably double that. Either way, it's a whole new kind of ouch. The type of emergency is part of what's fueling a trend this year in which more Americans, due to money fears generated in 2022, are focusing on setting aside money for near-term expenses instead of far-off goals. That means saving for expenses such as emergency dental work, a new computer to replace the one gone black, or a last-minute roofing project rather than for retirement or college. Given the record-high inflation we've seen this past year, it's not surprising that for the first time in the 14-year history of the 2023 Financial Resolution Study, more people say they plan to save money for the short term rather than the long term as part of their New Year's resolutions. Rita S. Self, Vice President of Retirement Planning for Fidelity Investment, says. According to the study's breakdown, 53% of respondents said they would set aside money for the short term to cover such expenses as an overdue credit card bill, emergencies, the mortgage, and a big-ticket item, while 47% are continuing to prioritize funding for retirement, college, health care, and long-term care. More than a third of respondents said that they are worse off financially than in the previous year, and many cited inflation as their top concern. The study found, too, that Americans characterize 2023 as the year of living sensibly, and 66% versus 68% last year were considering a financial New Year's resolution. As most people know, resolutions made on January 1 often fade almost as quickly as they are spoken. Yet for those determined to give themselves financial peace of mind this year by having money at their fingertips when needed, there are strategies that can help. Defining the scope and scale here is important, says Amir Noor, a certified financial planner and director of financial planning at United Financial Planning Group, LLC, in New York City. Some people consider short-term savings as the vacation they want to go on within the next 18 months. Some people consider saving for a house purchase within 5 years as short-term. Technically, there is no standard. Short term could also mean an emergency fund that covers between 3 to 12 months of expenses. For single Americans and sole income generating partners, Betty Wang, a CFP and founder of BW Financial Planning in Denver, recommends aiming for the higher end of that range. The key is that dollar amount you come up with must be based on what you actually spend and earn, not on a guess. To do so, Get out pen, paper, and calculator, bank and credit card statements, and receipts to nail down real numbers. Regardless of your definition of short term or what specifically you're aiming for, these six tips can help you bolster your savings. Step 1. Set the scene. Talk with your partner, spouse, or yourself, if single, about what constitutes an emergency in which you may have to tap into funds outside your regular budget. Then determine what it might cost to cover it. A busted water heater, for example, requires immediate attention and perhaps overtime pay for workers. Or a new car might be needed suddenly if you and your spouse head to work in opposite directions. Step 2. Get expert help. Seek out expert financial advice. The problem with following online advice to a T, Noor says, is that it is written for a general audience and doesn't consider your unique situation, including not only your savings and debts, but also your fears, preconceived and perhaps faulty notions, as well as the desires and needs of others in your family. Some organizations, such as public libraries, offer free seminars, and financial planning organizations can provide lower-priced professional advice if you can't afford to hire a financial planner at the full rate. Step 3. Take stock of your insurance coverage. Insure high-risk items, review premiums and deductibles, and add them up to determine what you might have to cover out of pocket until your policy kicks in. Typically, cars, boats, and houses and apartments and their furnishings, plus routine health care, are covered. If, for example, your apartment insurance deductible is $5,000, do you have that amount readily available should a fire prevent you from living in your home? Step 4. Automate your short-term savings. Setting up automatic deposits into your savings ensures that you're consistently socking away money and takes the extra work out of remembering to do so. You can start small. In The Automatic Millionaire, best-selling author David Bach recounts how he started saving by putting aside just 1% of earnings. Then, as he brought in more money, he upped the percentage. Step 5. Keep your stockpile handy. You want your short-term savings to be liquid, which you'll have in a regular savings account so that the money is quickly accessible. Consider opening an online high-yield savings account. There are multiple banks out there now with interest rates above 3%. Or if you're fairly certain that you won't need the money for a fixed time, see if you can get an even higher interest rate and therefore higher return with a certificate of deposit or CD or a U.S. Treasury savings bond. However, keep in mind that if you must tap into the funds sooner than the maturity date, you could be financially penalized for early withdrawal, Wang says. Step 6. Strike the right balance. Don't think of savings as all or nothing, meaning all your extra money must go towards an emergency fund and none for retirement. There are a number of ways to manage this. 50-50, short-term, long-term, putting long-term savings on the back burner for, say, 6 to 9 months while you build up an emergency fund, or keeping your long-term savings formula as it is while shaving unnecessary purchases and putting the savings from tightening your belt into a short-term savings account. From Kiplinger.com, is your money mindset unhealthy? You can change it. This article is by Brent Weiss, CFP. In my previous article, Your Money Mindset Forms by Age 7 and The Gift Keeps On Giving, I talked about a concept I call money maps. The beliefs, values, and attitudes we have around money that shape how we see the world and the role we and our money play in it. For most people, it's one of the least understood elements of their finances, and it's arguably the most powerful thing that influences not just their financial decisions, but their overall well-being. Here it is on a billboard. If you don't master your mindset, you will never master your money or the role it plays in your life. Having the tools to reflect on, gain awareness of, and change your unhealthy beliefs and attitudes is the key to thriving in your financial life. With an understanding of the past, you can better understand your present, and with the right strategies and guidance, shape your future with greater clarity and confidence. Before I share a few simple tips to help you discover and understand and change the beliefs shaping your money map, here are three rules everyone should follow. Now, let's break down these five steps so you can take today to help reshape your money map. Step one, identify your money beliefs. The first step to improve your money mindset is to identify the healthy beliefs you want to keep and the unhealthy ones that no longer serve you. Start with creating a list of the financial decisions you made in the last week or month. You choose the time period. For each decision, ask yourself three questions. Why did I make this decision? Did the decision align with my values? And how do I feel about the decision? The goal is to reflect on your decisions and to gain awareness of what influenced them. Step two, go from reflective to introspective. The first step was about reflecting on decisions already made. This step is about being introspective on financial decisions you have yet to make. So before tapping that credit card or hitting buy now on your favorite e-commerce site, ask yourself the same three questions with the present in mind. Why am I making this decision? Does it align with my values? And how will this decision make me feel? Examining your decisions before you make them can over time put you in control of the thoughts and feelings driving them. Step three, look for autopilot moments. Humans are creatures of habit. Think about all the decisions you make every day and how many of them touch money. Now think about how many of those decisions you make without thinking about them. As you go through your daily routine, take note of the moments where you are being intentional about your decisions and the moments that often fly under the radar of your consciousness. Change requires us to be more intentional about the decisions we make. Step four, change your decision framework. Has anyone ever asked you what you are thinking? I prefer to ask people how they are thinking. What we think is often just an opinion or a feeling in the moment. How we think is the process we use for making decisions. A decision framework includes defining the desired outcome, reviewing the information available to you and the gaps in that information, developing alternatives, evaluating options, and making the final decision. The more structure we have around our decisions, the greater clarity and consistency we can apply to our money. Step five, change your environment. Your environment is both physical, your actual location, and social, the people around you. Both act as invisible hands that shape your decisions. While your physical environment can influence your behaviors, I like to focus on the people we choose to include in our lives. As self-help guru Jim Rohn once shared, we become the average of the five people we spend the most time with. Those people influence the way we think and act, either positively or negatively. Who are those people in your life, and who are you becoming? More importantly, who do you want those people to be? Your money map and the beliefs, values, and attitudes that shape it influence every financial decision you make. Reflecting on your financial decisions, identifying your money habits, and changing both how you think about money and the environment in which you make decisions can put you on a path to greater clarity, confidence, and control with your money. And remember, change takes time. We have decades of programming we have to recode. Simple actions consistently practiced will create lasting change. Get it right, and you'll unlock more meaning in your money than you ever thought possible. From Money.com, best senior discounts. As the cost of living rises, data suggests people are showing an increased interest in taking advantage of senior discounts to help them afford everything from groceries to gasoline. The majority of Americans say they are living paycheck to paycheck amid heightened inflation, but those on a fixed income are often struggling the most. Though inflation cooled to about 6% in February, more than half of retirees said in a survey that current Social Security benefits, which include the biggest cost of living adjustment increase in 40 years, simply aren't enough to keep up with rising cost. Apparently, one way that older Americans are making ends meet is by using discounts that exist just for them. Yelp data shows that in 2022, the frequency of mentions of senior discounts in reviews of businesses jumped 36% compared to 2021, the company tells Money. Mary Johnson, Social Security and Medicare policy analyst for advocacy group the Senior Citizens League, tells Money that requests for help finding money-saving strategies and promotions have exploded in the last 2 years. The first place older adults feel rising prices is at the grocery store, Johnson says. We've been inundated with emails indicating the rider is down to one meal a day or is depending on other family members for housing or food, or even that they have been evicted and have no place to go. While money-saving promotions for older Americans aren't a cure-all for their financial woes, offers from AARP, supermarkets, pharmacies, and other product and service providers can help cover essentials that many are struggling to afford. There is no shortage of offers for seniors out there. Many chain restaurants offer deals for 10% or so, and there are often travel perks available like discounts on hotel stays, rental cars, and trains. Certain gas stations offer special promotions to seniors who are members of their rewards program, too. Pretty much everywhere you go, shop, and eat could have a senior discount. So, when in doubt, ask and see if there's a deal to help you save a little money. Money consulted roundups of senior discounts from sites like seniorliving.org, AARP, theseniorlist.com, and seniorsleague.org in search of promotions for necessities like meals and drugstore items. Here are some of the best offers that we found. Senior discounts at grocery stores. Fred Meyer offers a 10% off on select items on the first Tuesday of every month for those 55 years and older. Harris Teeter offers a 5% discount on Thursdays to those who are 60 or older. Hy-Vee, and it's spelled H-Y-V-E-E, offers their customers ages 55 and up a 10% off on Wednesdays at participating locations. Senior discounts for drugstores and wellness. Walgreens, AARP members earn 3% to 10% Walgreens cash rewards on certain Walgreens brand products when they link their AARP and their My Walgreens memberships. Rite Aid offers rewards 65 plus, including 5-time reward points on the first Wednesday of every month, a free pharmacist consultation, and more when seniors age 65 or older create an account. LensCrafters, AARP members get 50% off prescription lenses with the purchase of a frame, 30% off non-prescription sunglasses, and a $55 comprehensive eye exam. From Money.com, the seven most popular ways people are saving money on groceries now. Even as inflation starts to cool, Americans are still feeling the heat of bloating prices, especially when it comes to groceries. For consumers, the cost of groceries jumped 10.2% over the year ending in February, according to the latest Labor Department data. While the growth in prices has recently begun to shrink each month, the cost of food keeps ticking up nonetheless. Compared to February of 2020, just before the pandemic began, grocery prices have soared 24% and are weighing heavily on wallets around the country. Lots of people have long tried to save money on groceries, but new research shows that Americans are increasing their use of a variety of money-saving tactics to trim their grocery bills. And the cost-saving strategy that's seen the biggest increase in usage is one that'll make your stomach grumble. It's simply buying less food. What the research shows, according to a report released Monday by the research firm Morning Consult, 79% of Americans said they made an effort to save money on groceries in January, a slight increase from 77% the month prior. Comparing prices and buying generic brand alternatives are among the most common cost-saving measures people are taking. But an increasing number of Americans are also opting to just buy fewer groceries, Morning Consult data shows. The firm compared the share of folks who reported that they often or sometimes try certain money savings tactics to save on groceries from October of 2021 to January of 2023. Here are some of the most common strategies people are implementing to spend less at the supermarket. Comparing prices. 85% of shoppers said they compare prices to find a deal as of January, which is up 82% from October of 2021. Buying generic brands. At the start of 2023, 83% of shoppers told Morning Consult that they tried switching to a generic version of brand name products, a 3 percentage point increase from October 2021. Buying fewer items. In January, 72% of shoppers said they're buying less groceries to keep costs down, a notable spike from 64% in October of 2021. Buying less meat. 65% of shoppers said they bought less meat in January. In October of 2021, 59% said the same. Using coupons. Coupons are becoming much more popular, with 65% of shoppers saying they used them in January versus 58% in October of 2021. shopping at multiple stores. More shoppers are hunting for better prices at multiple grocers, with 63% reporting they tried that tactic in January for an increase of 2 percentage points. And buying in bulk. Bulk buying remained a fairly steady method of keeping grocery costs down, with 62% of shoppers doing so in January, which is an uptick of 1 percentage point over the same period of time. In our last article from Money.com, we will try to squeeze this in, top five ways people are getting extra income to cope with inflation. Good things happen to those who hustle, or rather, at the very least, those who hustle may be having an easier time keeping their bills paid in an inflationary era. A new report from Payments, and the acronym is PYMNTS, a financial news and analyst platform and financial services company, Lending Club, found more than 60% of Americans reported living paycheck to paycheck in February, and supplemental income may be key in boosting their financial stability. In the new report, Payments and Lending Club combined survey data from roughly 4,000 U.S. consumers in February with analysis of other economic indicators to find out how Americans are using supplemental income to cope with a rising cost of living. Sources of supplemental income. The report breaks down supplemental income sources into active engagement, passive engagement, and aid. Active side incomes include selling used items and gratuities from additional jobs, while passive income includes sources like rental properties and investments. Sources of aid include government benefits and assistance from family and friends. Younger respondents were more likely to have a side job. Over 35% of Gen Z and millennial respondents said they have an additional job compared to 6% of boomers and seniors. And this article will be edited due to our time constraints today. We're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and please be sure to listen to us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is also available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.